Biden's ready to ride the rails. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
Last night's debate in this election is supposed to be about you.
Instead, Joe Biden suggests the morning after President Trump doesn't walk in our shoes, doesn't relate.
And I think he basically looks down on us. He judges us.
And before Biden boarded a train to campaign from Ohio into Pennsylvania, the president has tweeted a bunch calling Biden weak, again claiming he'd destroy the country. And he wrote the debate was fun. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany told Fox Business.
He brought the fight that I think the American people wanted to see. The American people wanted to see the president question Joe Biden in a way that the media never does.
Now, the president and his Democratic challenger argued and interrupted each other for over 90 minutes, and that is getting more reaction today than what they said on the issues. James Comey, the FBI director the president fired 3 years ago, is testifying at the Senate. Fox's Jared Halpern live at the Capitol.
Now, the Republican-led Senate Judiciary Committee is asking the former FBI director about Crossfire Hurricane, the investigation into possible Russian links to the Trump campaign.
I'm not sure I can apply a number scale, but I would say in the main it was done by the book, it was appropriate, and it was essential that it be done.
Former FBI Director James Comey, appearing on a video conference, says the so-called Steele dossier containing salacious accusations against President Trump did play a role in intelligence warrant applications, but says he's not sure how critical those details were to the court. An inspector general found more than 24 significant inaccuracies and omissions in those warrant applications. Dave.
Now, Jared, there's an update on TikTok. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin just said if Oracle's deal to buy the video sharing app in the U.S. falls through, then they would move to shut down TikTok over privacy and security concerns. America's listening to Fox News.
Paid for by Lose Debts. Attention, this is a very important message to anyone with debt exceeding $10,000. With the worldwide stock markets free-falling, coronavirus being labeled a global pandemic, cities and whole countries in quarantine and layoffs picking up speed, the last thing you need to worry about is your credit card bills. Due to the recent global events, a special debt relief helpline has been created for anyone with over $10,000 in debt, but you must call us at 800-805-7728. As banks shore up capital bracing for a recession, they are willing to settle your debt for a fraction of what you owe, making it a perfect time to eliminate your debt and save your money during these tough economic times. There are no upfront fees, and we offer a 100% money-back guarantee. But you must call us at 800-805-7728. This opportunity won't last long, so call us today at 800-805-7728. You have enough to worry about. Settle your debt and remove that unneeded stress. 800-805-7728. That's 800-805-7728.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up, your pickup truck store. Is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard. Industry-leading quality and trend-setting design that protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bed liner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bed liners. With nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessory for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in its brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
El Dorado Broadcasters is searching for creative problem solvers to join our team of marketing professionals where we help businesses be more successful. I'm Chris Fleming, General Manager. Here's what it's like when you make a career working with El Dorado Broadcasters.
I'm Becky Alanis, and I've been in radio for 7 years. Working here has allowed me to connect with my community as well as create long-lasting relationships with local businesses. And my coworkers aren't too shabby either.
Apply online at evbroadcasters.com/careers. No employees were harmed in making this advertisement.
The Russ Clark Show is brought to you by Quick Refrigeration, now offering excellence in professional plumbing services as well as heating and air conditioning. Visit them at getcoolquick.com and listen to Russ Clark Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
James Brown and Bill Cowher welcoming you back to Dennis Melvin's house. It's time for the Midnight Snack Run.
This is one tricky obstacle course. Sticking to healthy habits in this kitchen is going to take focus and determination, but it can be done, JB.
He's already entered the snack part of the course, and he's eyeballing a jar of chocolatey candy.
That is tempting right off the start.
Uh-oh, he's reaching, Bill, but he pushes it away.
Great stiff arm.
He's approaching a plate of delicious-looking iced cookies.
Oh, Dennis, you only want one of those.
He blows right by him for the apple.
Oh, the fridge. It's make or break time, JB.
He stares down some rich-looking treats. Uh-oh, looks like he's headed for the soda. Wait, he jukes left, grabs a water bottle, and shuts the door with his elbow in record time.
Unbelievable move. I gotta see that again.
And he's out. He even turned off the light.
That's the way you execute a midnight snack run.
Stand Up to Cancer and Rally want you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
How did celebrity astronaut Mark Kelly go from public service to a net worth of up to $27 million? The answer is simple. He sold himself. Mark Kelly raked in millions of dollars from paid speeches to big corporations, jet-setting around the world. Kelly even took cash from a corrupt Middle East dictator. The kind of people Mark Kelly took money from? Disturbing. But the things Mark Kelly said to get paid? Disgusting. Kelly made a racist joke at a paid speech, then had to apologize, comparing men named Rodrigo to monkeys. Just listen to what Mark Kelly said.
Halfway between like an orangutan and a howler monkey. We even changed his name to Rodrigo.
That doesn't fly in Arizona. Multimillionaire Mark Kelly is not for Arizona. He'd say or do anything for a dollar. Defend Arizona, paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.defendarizona.org.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Sunny and 106 again today, 73 overnight tonight. Winds out of the west at 10. Sunny and 106 tomorrow, 73 tomorrow night, light wind. And Friday, sunny and 105, 72 Friday night.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Good morning, Yuma. You're listening to Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU Studio. My friend Russ Jones, who owns San Luis International Cold Storage, R.L. Jones Custom Brokerage, San Luis Warehouse and Transfer, businesses in Texas and California. You have anything in Aruba yet?
Don't I wish?
Janet hasn't talked to you in something in Aruba.
Well, what she doesn't know won't hurt her. Oh, no, this is going to be fun. Oh, my God. I'm in trouble.
In the studio, Kimberly Kill, the new executive director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, Tom.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Life is good. Russ, we've been having conversations about Prop 207 and 208, mm-hmm. and that we had on the Arizona Chamber of Commerce industry several weeks ago. But you brought a couple of interesting twists to 208, and mm-hmm. we started talking about it, and we all said, well, let's go on the radio and talk about it some more.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, invest in Ed sounds like a great thing. And we all want to invest in Ed, so let's pass this thing. What do you say?
You know, we've done this before. Back in the early 2000s when I was in the state legislature, there was economic hard times. We had to do some cutting back, but we had two different systems of performance pay, and Crane School was one of those that got that kind of performance pay. So they wanted to even the playing field out. So the legislature appropriated funds to even the you know, things out, make it level and the same for all the school districts in Arizona. Unfortunately, it went through the Department of Education, then it went to the individual school districts, and less than half of the school districts and states actually distributed the money in additional funds and bonuses to the performing teachers in the classrooms. So it didn't get to the classroom. Less than half of it got to the classroom. And this piece
Prop
of legislation,
yep.
Prop 208, same thing. The money has to go through the Department of Education. And then there's some carve-outs within there that get it first out of that. And then, of course, there's administrative overhead of that. Then it has to be redistributed out to the school districts. I'm not quite sure how that is. It's a little bit
vague. Murky,
vague on how and who gets that. So if you're, I guess if you're a big, rich school, you'll probably get more. If you're a rural school, how do we ensure that our classrooms in rural Arizona, where we don't have a tax, as much of a tax base as the urban center school districts have? We don't. And then once it gets into the school districts, how do we know it gets to the classroom? And that's been the big argument in Arizona, is looking at, okay, let's try to get, and the legislatures tried over and over again, to try to find ways to ensure that money got to the classrooms. And that's why the more recent appropriations were directed at teacher salaries. They wanted to ensure that it bypassed all the administration stuff and got into the classroom where it was needed. And this bill does the same thing. And it's going to be cast in concrete. It's there. It's forever. Because of the
proposition process.
Yep. The way it works. And so it takes a super majority of the legislature and the governor agreeing. It's never happened. Ever. And unlikely to happen. So once it's there, it's there. It doesn't have an inflation factor. Unfortunately, I mean, because, you know, if you're making so much money now, well, what about 10 years from now with inflation? Mm-hmm. How many more people are going to be suddenly in that new tax bracket that weren't there before? That's happened with our own income tax system. So it's very, very poorly designed, and it would have disastrous effects on Arizona, because it's not equitable. It's not fair. It takes, you know, folks who are individuals, partnerships, LLCs, S-corporations that take their taxes or their revenues for their small businesses, and they take them directly and report them personally.
Correct.
They're the ones going to get hit. The big corporations, the C-corporations and those other ones, they're not going to get down. They're off the hook.
And you're exactly right.
So how is this equitable? This is not fair.
That's where the chamber
Who's going to pay their fair share?
They have been talking about fair share.
How is that fair?
I don't know what fair share is. I don't even know what that means. But that's where the chamber got involved.
It's a euphemism for your money, not mine.
But the attack on small business, that's why this is really going to affect small businesses greatly. And that, to me, when you look at 65% of the chamber membership are businesses with 10 employees or fewer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're probably in that 250 because, again, that's taxable income. It's going to devastate them. Two things are going to happen. They're going to raise their prices, okay, or leave Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want
mm-hmm.
either one of those things to happen. So that, to me, is really a problem. In talking to some folks yesterday, in the last 4 years, we've put $2 billion, okay, back into education. Okay, when Governor Ducey had his 20% by 2020, okay, that worked. It didn't cost you or me 10 cents. And the state trust has still continued to grow. And we borrowed against that, but against the interest, but that is still continuing to grow. So it still didn't cost us any cash out of pocket. And everybody mm-hmm. wins. But this troubles me. And Kim, you had a great story about your son. This is a great story. I want Kim to tell it because this is really fascinating. Please.
Okay, so my son had to do an argumentative paper for his English class. He's a junior in high school, so that everybody knows
at
the
ASU
reason.
Prep.
School at
yep.
ASU Prep Digital. And he had to choose an argument, and it had to be about politics. And so he chose to write his paper about Prop 208 and why people shouldn't vote for it. And one of the first things that he came up with, okay, we're talking somebody 16 years old. We are not talking about an adult who's done a lot of research. We are talking a 16-year-old doing his own research, came to me and said, Mom, do you realize that big corporations would have about half the tax rate of a small business? He's like, so my grandpa, who owns a small business, would be hugely affected by this because since he is not incorporated, he, you know, files his business taxes on his personal income tax as a sole proprietorship. I mean, he knows all this stuff and understood very quickly that this wasn't fair, that what would this do to grandpa's business?
Absolutely.
And it was funny to me that, you know, a 16-year-old grasped this relatively quickly, understood mm-hmm. the concept of why this was problematic.
And what I loved about the story, too, if I may,
sure.
I want you to be the hero of this play, but he came back with, there's no guarantees this affects classroom spending at all, no guarantees it's going to change outcomes at all, and I was just excited that a 16-year-old gets it.
Well, right,
a very bright 16-year-old, I might add.
Well, and we've been very invested in education. I was the PTO president in school for 3 years, and I am very supportive of his teachers. I actually worked 4-10 and then spent every Friday in his classroom helping grade papers and do whatever his teacher needed. So we are a very invested in education family. We strongly believe in education and helping out with our schools and helping out with our teachers. But we both relatively quickly grasped that this was not the way to do it.
No, it's not. You know, last time we actually did do this, is, and I remember I was the deciding vote in the Appropriations Committee to get the bill out, and that was Governor Brewer's 1% sales tax. That was guaranteed. It was 3 years, and then it went away, and it was 1%. It raised approximately $1 billion a year, and that was when we were back in the Great Recession and dealing with that. And we had to balance our budget, which in Arizona, unlike the United States, you have to do. And so you have to take something from somewhere. And one of the largest portions of the discretionary budget that we have is that for education. So how do we replace that hole? We did it through something that was equitable. If you made a lot more money and spent a lot more money, you paid more taxes for 1%.
Correct.
But everybody paid.
Right.
No one was exempt. It was right across there as fair. The person buying the one can of soda paid their minuscule amount towards the better good for everyone.
Right.
And in 3 years it went away, and we were out of that hole and back to balancing our state budget. But because it had a sunset of 3 years, an absolute one, it made sense. This thing makes no sense. It goes on forever.
Ever and ever,
ever
and ever.
Ever. And like I said, it's not adjusted for inflation. So Arizona, we've been doing this for the last 6 to 8 years, trying to get pass and change our tax laws in Arizona so we wouldn't, as companies were fleeing California and New York and other places, they weren't hopping over Arizona and going to Texas. You know, during the Great Recession, the only state in the union that did not have a recession was Texas. And that's because everybody went there. And so we were trying to emulate some of these other states. And we got to that point. We're in like the top five now, or close to it. If this goes through, we'll be in the top 10 worst states. We'll be like California, New York. We'll be dealing with corporate flight. And when corporate leaves, and especially in the days of Zoom and electronic selling, then we all lose state taxes, local taxes,
right.
All go down.
I would talk about those impacts more after the break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU.
Weeds can rob your alfalfa of valuable moisture and nutrients, affecting yield and quality. Count on Eptam 7E to control annual grasses and broadleaf weeds in your new and established alfalfa crop. Years of grower experience proves Eptam 7E provides excellent control of annual grasses, key broadleaf weeds, and some perennial weeds. Contact your local distributor to schedule Eptam 7E for your alfalfa this season. Always read and follow label directions. From Gowan, USA. Proud to be family owned in the USA for over 50 years.
Fox News at the top of the hour. Brought to you by Air Central Heating and Cooling. Give Air Central a call or just log on to acyuma.com. News Talk 560 KBOU, where you're always right.
PhD. Professional home doctor.
When it rains, it pours, and when it pours through a leak or a pipe breaks, it means water damage to your home. If you experience flood or water damage, you need to act quickly to eliminate the possibility of mold infestation. With 24-hour emergency service, trust PhD, the professional home doctors, to return your home to its pre-damaged condition. Call 341-9111 or go to phdyuma.com.
Prevention is important. Help prevent the spread of illness and keep yourself and others well. Here are some of the most effective ways you can prevent the spread of germs. Wash your hands by scrubbing thoroughly with soap and hot water for at least 20 seconds. And always wash before you touch your face, eat, or drink. Use hand sanitizers in addition to hand washing or where soap and water are not available. Limit sharing of items such as utensils, cups, and dishes. Avoid all physical contact with others, including handshakes and kisses. Practice social distancing by maintaining a distance of 6 feet from others. sneeze or cough into a tissue or the inside of your elbow. Avoid contact with ill individuals and insist they isolate themselves. Sanitize frequently touched surfaces in your home and workplace several times a day. An ounce of prevention is worth a ton of cure. Download the free booklet at Scientology.org/stay well.
Grown-ups devise a plan and follow it. Children do what feels good. Take responsibility for your family's future and get your estate in order. Call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen, attorneys at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a consultation today. Visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Citizens Clean Elections Commission has the tools you need to vote informed in elections happening all throughout Arizona. Find nonpartisan information like important deadlines, how to vote early, and election day details all in one convenient place. azcleanelections.gov.
We are back on Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU. In studio, we have Russ Jones, owner of multiple businesses in South County, but also businesses in Texas and California. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
And a darn nice guy.
Thank you.
And Kimberly Kale, who is the new executive director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning.
I love this program because when we go to commercial, the banter in the studio just goes haywire. But the conversation off the air was fascinating. The efficiency of the dollars in education are really a question. I think anybody who looks at 55% of the state's budget goes to education. 55%.
Yeah.
Okay. That's huge. Yet we're second to last in classroom spending.
Mm-hmm.
However, at the high school level, we're graduating our seniors at 25th in the country in efficiency and proficiency. So our teachers and they're doing great work with being handcuffed.
With fewer resources.
Mm-hmm. But something needs to be done with the waste. Something needs to be done with the process, the procedure, the funding, the fundamentals of the cash. I think that's where we should work rather than a horrible Prop 28, which affects small businesses badly, gives you no guarantees it's going to hit the classroom. I think we sit down with the legislature and fix the processes. The only thing that has stayed consistent through COVID in our school districts, the only thing that has stayed consistent, 3 audits.
Think
about that.
It is.
The auditing firms are getting rich,
mm-hmm.
okay? We're pushing paper around, and we're justifying what dollars and cents that come in.
Yeah.
But for what?
And you're always dealing with growing areas needing to do overrides because their budget isn't sufficient to cover mm-hmm. that. So they've got to go spend money and go out and do the override election or the bonding election. And in Arizona, you know, we have a school facilities because we went to the Supreme Court because Arizona in our Constitution says it, that everyone has a right to equal opportunity education. It doesn't say you get an equal education or you're going to be as smart, but you should have the same opportunities regardless whether you live in an urban center or the most rural part of the state.
Right.
And so, but we've been unable to properly fund that. Look at the problems that Somerton is having in just getting this new high school. And everyone knows it. They should have had it years ago. And then it's still going to take us 3 more years get it built. By then, it's going to be obsolete.
But
and
we,
so we do
we
it now.
In,
we, everything's obsolete.
Yes, yes, yes. For our high schools, we voted that in.
Yes, that's a great, absolutely.
$7 million.
But we still need more money through the State Facilities Board, and so we've got to go through that whole process, and it's taking years to do. It isn't fair and equitable because a town like Somerton does not have a tax base where they can go out and willy-nilly raise money on bonds and charge it to the homeowner. Because that's who pays it.
Correct.
Is the homeowner. So that isn't equitable anymore.
Humboldt Unified School District, okay, which is Prescott Valley, Dewey, Humboldt, you know, that part of Yavapai County, they're going for a bond and an override, and it's going to cost the homeowner $9 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're worried, and their superintendents there came out against 208. Mm-hmm. The 208 is it doesn't fix the funding problems.
No.
208 is a mess.
No.
But they also... But
it's not going to fix Summerton.
It's not, but it's also said, look, it's going to put in jeopardy their bond and their overrides. Because if I'm looking at my ballot, yeah, I got 208 or I have my local community mm-hmm. that needs this. And they know that those dollars are going to go right into that building, right into those kids, right into those CT programs and the like in their backyard. But they don't want people to have to decide one or the other.
Well, people aren't going to be able to decide. If you're being taxed right based on your income and you paid, you're less likely to vote for some kind of an override or a bond issue because you look at your tax returns and you're saying, I just paid a chunk of extra money for this type of thing. Why do I have to pay twice? It's going to confuse you.
I'm a retiree and an empty nester. I'll pay that $9 a month, mm-hmm. okay, so that the outcome is benefit my community right there. Then this 208, this cesspool for 208, because I have no idea where the money's going to go. It may never, ever come back to Yuma or Dewey or anything, because there's no guarantees in 208. Yeah, that's the problem.
If you look at, our former Senator John Kyle is also there with Glenn Hammer, the state chamber, and mm-hmm. a list as long as your arm of business organizations. And at the state and national level of saying this is a really bad idea. They did this in Oregon. They've done this over in the West Coast. And they're trying to put it onto us. Over 90% of the money for this whole issue came from out of state. It's
Washington
and
Oregon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because we're an easy target to take their ideology and move it along and get it done in Arizona, a supposedly conservative state. By golly, we can do there, then we'll go to Texas next. And so we're just a means to an end for the liberal progressives and what they want to do and take things out of our hand and put it into the elite.
Well, one comment from one of the school superintendents talked about 208 being grassroots, when in fact it isn't.
No.
Grassroots to me is the PTO mom, okay? Mm-hmm. That's as grassroots as you're going to get. And seriously, I mean, think about it. I mean, this is my kitchen table. Okay, this is my Friday day off.
Yeah.
That is grassroots.
It's a 16-year-old doing the paper and figures it out.
Right.
My God, if you can't figure it out as an adult and a 16-year-old can, you've got a problem. There's a lot of stuff out on this. It's just a very bad piece of legislation that it's going to be imposed on us.
And what I want to make sure, Russ, too, and I want to be real clear on this, is that this is not a blue versus red. This is not a conservative versus liberal approach. I know many, many, many folks who are Democrats. I know many, many school superintendents. I know many, many mm-hmm. School bosses are against 208
mm-hmm.
because they know this is not right for Arizona. It's not right for the school, the function, the school.
No.
I hate to call it an industry, but it's not right for the composition of what they're all about. And that, to me, says, look, forget the red and blue. Forget their Republicans, step back and look at what it's going to do to Arizona and the businesses within it, because they'll leave, and that's a problem. And all the growth we have will shut down.
Oh, leave? Or they'll just go out of business.
Yep.
Or they'll do it. Look what's happening with New York. People have moved to New Jersey. They moved from New Jersey to someplace else. But Wall Street, they're having. I can't remember the number, but the numbers, the millions and millions of square feet of unoccupied commercial. Business space in some of those large urban centers is horrendous, and who knows who's going to fill it. I guess Amazon will buy up everything and own all the buildings. It'll be a huge warehouse, with little drones flying in and out for us. But this is what we're doing to small business when we impose these kinds of tax and solutions. It's simplistic. Now, you're right. I took the class on Education Funding 101 three times. From Chuck, and I flunked all three courses. It is so complicated. It takes a host of experts to just try to make one. I mean, because it's so much of it's counterproductive. And from one to the other, you mentioned three audits. That's the least of the problems they go through in school districts.
Darwin Stifler.
We do need to sit down and have serious conversations in Arizona and do something about how we fund education, make it more streamlined, more transparent. And so that more money gets into the classroom, 208 ain't the way.
And the legislature needs to sit down with superintendents and say, okay, Start with a blank piece of paper. What do you need? We're not going to ask you how you're spending it. We trust that you're a school education professional to give me, you know, 87 reports where the reporting costs more than the cash.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happened twice. They turned down the money because reporting was more than the cash they were going to receive. We have a systems problem.
Right.
Let's solve more problems after the break, if that's okay.
Sounds
you
good.
Are listening to Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
The Russ Clark Show is brought to you by Quick Refrigeration, now offering excellence in professional plumbing services as well as heating and air conditioning. Visit them at getcoolquick.com and listen to Russ Clark Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
I'm a veteran. My victory was admitting I had PTSD and getting help.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I no longer see it as a weakness, but as a sign of strength. I call it post-traumatic growth.
DAV provides a lifetime of support, helping veterans of every generation get the benefits they've earned.
I am a veteran. I lost both legs in Vietnam.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans so they can reach victories great and small.
My victory was getting my benefits and a good education.
I'm a veteran. When I got out, I felt like Nora was safe.
My victory was finding the help I needed.
But there's more to be done, and more victories to be won.
Thanks to DAV, now I feel like I'm human again.
Help support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service, there's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center, and when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Check your tire pressures every month, especially before long road trips, or stop by your neighborhood tire retailer for help.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
We are back on Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU. In studio, Russ Jones owns multiple businesses in South County, a former Yuma County Citizen of the Year.
Oh.
You and Janet.
Along with my wife.
You and Janet.
She's the main reason we got that designation. I just hung on to her coattails.
Well, no, but if there was ever a campus couple, I think you and Janet would be it for Yuma County. And also we have Kimberly Kale in studio with us, the new executive director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning, John.
Cool stuff happening. We're starting to get some committees back together, live and in person, transportation, military affairs, and the like. But this Tuesday, October the 6th, you really want to listen in on this. This is going to be the Zoom Facebook Live candidate forum, Arizona District 4 and 13. All the candidates will be there. We do need more questions. We have questions from our board of directors and questions from our Legislative Affairs Committee. But if you want to give questions to our candidates in District 4 and District 13, Arizona State Legislature, info@yumachamber.org. Russ, that you too? Okay, write this down, info@yumachamber.org. Again, we know that we'll have to repeat some questions, if that's okay. But again, we really want to make sure that these questions come from the voters, the citizenry. This to me is participative civics. Mm-hmm. Let's get it done right. October 6th, Tuesday, 2 p.m. Again, that'll be on the Facebook Live pages of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce and the Yuma Sun. Tuesday the 6th at 2 o'clock. Very, very important. Okay, back to other stuff. you wanted to make a comment. We went to break.
About getting it fixed. And, you know, there's two ways in Arizona. You can do also what's called a referral. Okay, rather than a proposition. Proposition is won by the people. It's done through the petition process. And because until we change the threshold, there are companies that advertise that with $2-4 million, they can guarantee by hiring the petition circulators, they can guarantee companies and other organizations they'll get it on
the ballot. Right.
They'll get it on the ballot. And with a little bit more money in advertising, they'll almost guarantee that it's going to pass. That's how bad it is here. On the other hand, a referral comes out of the legislature, which means it has to go through the full committee process. It's open, transparent, in questions, and it beat up a lot. But you want it to get beat up a lot, because whatever comes out of there, you want it to be something that makes sense, mm-hmm. right? So that is one process we haven't done. On education. I know we tried to do it some stuff years ago on changing the way we deal with public trust lands that go for education, and trying to figure out a way to make that more easy, to work better, so we can raise more money. We have an incredible resource out there. Mm-hmm. You know, out in YPGs, there are 13 whole sections of land that is trust land that's sitting in the middle of YPG that can't be used, because we can't figure out a way to sell it, transfer it, or move it around. So there's opportunities with state land to grow that trust, go back and use the referral basis, and then once it's done, to make sure the money does get into the classroom. We can do this.
I also do believe, seriously, back to the sales tax issue you talked about earlier, mm-hmm. right now your state sales tax, 6/10 of a penny goes to education.
Mm-hmm.
We want to raise that to a full cent, another 4/10 of a cent, and that will raise a couple $100 million a year. To me, back to Governor Brewer's answer, that penny that sunset, another 4/10 of a cent is negligible. You won't even miss it.
That's correct.
But for me, we already have the 6/10 of a cent in there. It's going to take a lift to get that to a full penny. I think we were going to try to do that in this ballot cycle and decided against it. It'll mm-hmm. probably come up in 2022.
At least that's fair. And you know, now that we do collect taxes on internet from out of state, even that will pay its little bit of fair share.
Exactly.
And so it's more equitable, and it's a little teeny bit that everyone pays. You're not going to feel it, versus this one where you're going to go after our business, the people who provide 80% plus of the jobs in Arizona. You're going after that group specifically with this.
I don't understand the argument, because I have a two-digit IQ. They always say that sales taxes adversely affect the poor. I don't understand that, because I'm buying stuff, mm-hmm. and my sales tax bill at the end of the year is fairly high in comparison. But with the argument that it adversely affects the poor, I can't make that math work.
It really doesn't, because we also exempt certain items from sales tax in Arizona that most directly
grocery.
Impact the poor.
Right.
And so that's their biggest ticket item. So, yeah, no,
well,
it's not true.
I don't understand how that would work either, because if I'm buying, you know, a car that's $15,000 versus a car that's $50,000, clearly the sales tax is
mm-hmm.
going to work.
High.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And again, everybody does their fair share. And that is a much more equitable way of approaching this thing. Of course, if they pass the marijuana thing, we're going to all retire and live off the taxes of marijuana. Of course, there won't be any illicit, illegal marijuana coming in anymore. That's going to undercut it in the tax.
In Colorado, the black market marijuana,
yeah.
Okay, and the cartels have, their business has thrived
in
Colorado, Washington, and Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
California, I don't know, because it's the great state. Yeah, I don't want to go to the California data, but it has made the cartels and made illegal drugs worse.
Yeah. I mean, look at cigarettes in New York, because they overtaxed in New York on cigarettes. They had the same thing going on. Europe at cigarette. If the public sector, government taxes something, a vice of some kind and overtaxes it, then people are going to find another way to get it. And that's what we're going to see here.
Unintended consequences.
Unintended consequences. And we're going to have a bunch of... watch our accident rate and watch what it does to our businesses who need to... I'm in a business. I'm a customs broker, and I'm audited by U.S. Customs and Homeland Security. I must maintain a drug and alcohol-free workplace, or I can't work. I can't operate. So how do I do that in that environment?
This is my final chamber chatter. This is my final day working with the Chamber of Commerce. So I get to be a citizen for just a minute, okay?
Okay.
I'm not a Chamber of Commerce guy for this minute. I am stressfully and vehemently opposed to Prop 207. And here's why. There's two big reasons why 207 is a mess. One, marijuana is illegal federally. The federal government is the number one employer in Yuma County. This is a huge problem.
Yeah.
And until the feds legalize it, Arizona should stay away from it. We just let the feds take care of this. This is a bad idea. Because if it passes in Arizona, the feds can tax it, so there's no net tax gain. That's not a mess that can happen. But the other piece is there's no way to test marijuana for THC potency and things like that. I can be drunk at 0.08. That's my alcohol content in my blood. Boom, I'm done. I'm busted. I'm legally drunk. There's no THC. There's no way to find out how stoned I am. And that is the problem. Because you can't get a DUI driving under the influence of a variety of things, including marijuana. But until there's a testing protocol in place, we need to not pass this legislation, in my opinion.
I'm a veteran of the Vietnam era, and I can tell you that doing smoking dope and watching other soldiers, I didn't do it, but I watched. It's cumulative. And if you smoke, it's just like alcohol. If you drink alcohol every single day, there's an accumulation in your body of what that the impact. Same thing with marijuana. And try to get a job in federal or state with where it requires that. Or try to get a chauffeur's license. Do you want these guys, these big rigs, driving around doped up?
Absolutely not. And that's the problem. There's no testing protocol. There's no way to know. And that, to me, is a huge health issue. It's a safety issue. Businesses should line up and oppose Prop 207 for those very reasons. It's a problem. It's a mess.
It is.
And the proposition, like the other one, is very poorly written. It creates a new cartel. Those who are selling it now are guaranteed to sell it for a number of years after that. Let's solve more problems after the break, sir, if that's
all right.
Okay. You're listening to Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KVLU.
Listen to Sean Hannity weekdays from noon to 3 right here on 560 AM KBLU. Sean Hannity's brought to you by Liberty Motorsports on Arizona Avenue for all the best motorsports products in the industry, plus your service needs since 1981.
Contest rules for all giveaways and contests on 560 KBLU can be viewed and downloaded at our website, KBLUAM.com.
We are proud humans and we wear our face covers. You don't wear them because we're afraid. We wear them for our brothers and our sisters, our parents, friends, and neighbors, our healthcare workers and essential personnel, our aunts and our uncles, our grandmas and our grandpas. We wear our face covers because we want to protect everyone in our cities, farms, factories, and in our towns. We are proud humans and we wear our face cover because we care.
Warning! Austin defunded the police. Enter at your own risk. Back in a minute with your political question of the day.
You can earn a substantial income by farming for the city. All you need to do is take your crop to market and win the competition for the consumer dollars. There is a well-proven strategy for winning this competition. You will find it embedded in MetroFarm, the guide to growing in or near the city for the city.
Herbal Connections, Maureen Rogers. I rate MetroFarm very high. All of the information is easy to understand and it reads really fast. You will get your money's worth out of MetroFarm. Egg economist, Dr. John Weisson.
Olson's MetroFarms enjoy competitive advantages which allow them to produce more crops per unit of higher quality at less cost and large-scale farms.
Before you plant your seeds, pick up a copy of the Ben Franklin Book of the Year award-winning Metro Farm. Then plant your seeds and win the dollars. MetroFarm.com. MetroFarm.com. MetroFarm.com.
The Texas Municipal Police Association is making sure that travelers entering Austin, Texas from Interstate 35 will see two billboard warnings that the city defunded the police. CBS News reports, one billboard reads, "Warning, Austin defunded police. Enter at your own risk." Those supporting the defund the police movement argue it's about a reallocation of some money from law enforcement to other services that could help the community. Question, do those billboards encourage or discourage you from visiting Austin?
How did celebrity astronaut Mark Kelly go from public service to a net worth of up to $27 million? The answer is simple. He sold himself. Mark Kelly raked in millions of dollars from paid speeches to big corporations, jet-setting around the world. Kelly even took cash from a corrupt Middle East dictator. The kind of people Mark Kelly took money from? Disturbing. But the things Mark Kelly said to get paid? Disgusting. Kelly made a racist joke at a paid speech, then had to apologize, comparing men named Rodrigo to monkeys. Just listen to what Mark Kelly said.
Halfway between like an orangutan and a howler monkey. We even changed his name to Rodrigo.
That doesn't fly in Arizona. Multimillionaire Mark Kelly is not for Arizona. He'd say or do anything for a dollar. Defend Arizona, paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.defendarizona.org.
We are back on Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU in studio. Russ Jones, owner of multiple businesses in South County, Texas, and California. And he and his wife, Janet, are the former citizens of the year of Yuma County. I'm with royalty this morning. Good morning, Russ.
I almost said something bad on the line. It's your fault.
We're on the radio.
Stop myself.
Be careful. And also in studio, Kimberly Kale, the new executive director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Kimberly.
Good morning.
And Russ Clark is just dying to take the microphone away. So we're arm wrestling. But there's a great story that Russ Clark's going to tell about the realities of marijuana legalized and the cartels. Okay, so you get the mic. Uh-huh.
Now, look, I wasn't in Nam smoking or anything.
I didn't either. I didn't
know. No, but as a county supervisor, we got to spend a week, or I did. I was one that wanted to go in Colorado at a grow house and discuss it with the local sheriff, the attorney general, the lawyers for the grow house, mm-hmm. as well as the school board and some other people that talked about the impact on the community, the impact on the grow house and everything else, and they did not paint a picture that was wonderful, and particularly with the hospital had a lot more emergencies, like three times yeah. for overdose, and they were normally kids and stuff that did. And the local cartels, and there's a lot of indication that, well, the cartels are going to hate this when it goes legal because that taps into their business. Well, it does the opposite. It gives cover. Mm-hmm. So what happens is the street marijuana, the street sales, the illegal sales go way up.
The taxes.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's cheaper, number one, but then once they have it on their possession, the police, of course, do not differentiate between the legal and illegal. It doesn't come in a prescription bottle with mm-hmm. your name on it. It's just a bag of weed.
Mm-hmm.
And
how long ago was that?
A couple years ago.
All right.
About 4 years ago.
Yeah. How has it been working since then for Colorado?
They are not collecting the tax dollars they thought because uh-huh. the amount of sales going through the legal houses is less than what they had imagined.
Well, that's
imagined.
Because people are smoking less, don't you?
No, they're smoking more.
And the other reason is, and this is why I'm really bad at math, I'm allowed to have six plants, okay, with this proposition, and my wife can have six plants, I can have 12 plants. Each plant can produce up to 8 to 10 ounces of good smokable dope,
mm-hmm.
but I'm only allowed to possess 1 ounce. So I'm bad at math, but how does this work? So if people start planting and growing their own, there's no sales tax revenue for that. Zilch. No. And I can have as much weed as I want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bite the neighbors.
It doesn't make the whole legalized marijuana. It doesn't make sense, in my opinion, until it's legal federally. We have to just wait. And educators, and of course, there's this seductive nature of Prop 207, where education gets bazillions of dollars. I think it's $48 million a year, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Educators do not want the money this way. I've talked to many, many of them. They said this mechanism for funding CTE and the like, okay, no, we don't want it. We just don't want the money that way. And that, to me, says this is wrong for Arizona. Both 207 and 208 are wrong for Arizona.
Well, if it's proliferating out there and it's out and available that much, how are you going to keep it? I mean, it's hard enough keeping it out of the hands of minors.
Yes, you're exactly right. And we talked off the air, Oregon, California, Washington, it's legal. Okay, they want to make it legal here as well, because people are fleeing those states, and Colorado too. Yavapai County, my heavens, people are flocking to Yavapai County, Prescott from Denver. They mm-hmm. like the mile-high living, they like the mountains, but they're fleeing.
Well, it's in Prop 207, the Prop 208, and there's been others in the prior years. Same thing. These are the worst coast, and their brothers and sister on the East Coast keep trying to make us more like them, so that then people have no reason to leave. It's the same. Where are you going to go? It'll be everywhere. That's their goal.
I have a T-shirt that says, "Don't California my Arizona."
Yeah, I have businesses, like you mentioned. I have business in California, and I have business in Texas. It's a world of difference in terms of the tax you pay. And my employees in Texas live very well. They get paid very well. They have a wonderful lifestyle. I have several of them that moved from Arizona to Texas, and I can't get them to come back.
Really?
Yeah. They like it that much.
But there's taxes, but there's also liberties. There's also things you can and can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that speaks wonderfully, I think, for Arizona still today. But we just can't have 207 and 208 passed, because, again, we will be more like California, and that's not what we want in the Great 48, in my opinion.
Now, this is a little bit different, but I would appeal to all the folks that are moving to Arizona from California, Oregon, Washington, and Colorado to consider why they left. Think about why you left. I'm not asking you to change parties or do anything, but when you're voting on people that are going to be elected office, when you're voting on propositions or referrals, think about what you and why you left there, and you want to recreate the same thing here. If that's what you want, then I'd appreciate it if you just keep this as a second home and move back.
Please. Yeah. Pay your property taxes.
Yeah, pay your taxes, and then go back wherever you are from it. And you know, we have a beautiful state. Wonderful lifestyle that we have here, beautiful landscape. We love Arizona. Please love Arizona the same as we do.
The world of the Chamber of Commerce, I gave Kimberly a SWOT analysis, okay, mm-hmm. of the Chamber. And one of our weaknesses is that we don't have the ability to say no. We say yes to everything. And so she looked at that and she winced. But we're also fix-it people. We want to fix problems. How do we employ the legislature? How do we get the conversation started that says, let's look at education funding process?
You're going to have a forum. Why don't you bring up those questions?
Here's a blank piece of paper. Here's education funding.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to start from scratch, forget what you know. You were to start from scratch with this big pot of dough in the great state of Maricopa. Our 55% of our expense. What would you do with that money if you started from scratch today?
Mm-hmm.
How would that money be allocated? Would you have 9 school districts in Yuma County?
Maybe not.
Probably not.
Yeah. I was on the committee that looked at that years ago.
There's 217 school districts in Arizona. Do we really need that many school districts? I'm sure maybe geographically, Antelope may make some sense. But we need to take a strong look at what's going on today, in my opinion, because there's competition for those students. So mm-hmm. many online opportunities, so many charter school opportunities, so many homeschooling opportunities. So butts in seats as a formula for cash Does it work anymore?
Yeah.
We have to.
It doesn't. My own kid doesn't go to a public. I mean, he goes to a charter school and has since kindergarten. I mean, and ASU Prep Digital this summer was so overwhelmed with enrollment because of COVID and all the uncertainties and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really researched before I put my child in a school, and I think a lot of parents do if they have that choice.
Hmm. And I love our educators in Yuma County, okay? Gina Thompson, Lori, during all of the folks that are really in the trenches doing a great job, virtually handcuffed. This is not a rip. We're doing what we can, what we have. But I really think strong reformers really what we need to be. Last words, so we have a few seconds.
No, I just wish, I hope everybody gets out and votes. Exercise your franchise. We had just about 30% of folks got out for the primary. Of course, the propositions are not in part of that vote. They are in this one.
Yep.
Fundamentally, extremely important for Arizona, because if these two propositions pass, it will fundamentally change our state forever.
Exactly right.
It's not going to go back.
It's been a blast. I want to thank Larry Linares and Fisher Chevy Group for starting Chamber Chatter 5 years ago. Signing off. You listen to Chamber Chatter. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Nia Hurd-Garris with today's tip for kids from the American Academy of Pediatrics. Toddlers can be very curious about water. That's why drowning is the number one cause of injury-related deaths for children ages 1 to 4. But drowning is preventable. Plan layers of protection, a fence that surrounds the pool, and swimming lessons when your child is ready. When your child is near water, an adult should always be within an arm's reach to supervise. For more, talk to your pediatrician and visit healthychildren.org.
A vehicle is stolen once every 40 seconds in the United States. The cost adds up to over $6 billion a year. But there are steps you can take to help put the brakes on vehicle theft. Roll up the windows completely. Don't leave valuables in the car. Take the keys or the fob with you. Lock the door. If you have information on vehicle theft, contact the NICB. Reach us at 1-800-TEL-NICB or visit NICB.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Fox News on AM 560 Radio is brought to you by Air Central Heating and Cooling. Kennedy said, "Only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. You and I are that generation."
It is not meat, but it is made in China. Back in 1 minute with your food chain question of the day.
You can earn a substantial income by farming for the city. All you need to do is take your crop to market and win the competition for the consumer dollars. There is a well-proven strategy for winning this competition. You will find it embedded in MetroFarm, the guide to growing in or near the city for the city.
Herbal Connections, Maureen Rogers. I rate MetroFarm very high. All of the information is easy to understand and it reads really fast. You will get your money's worth out of MetroFarm. Egg economist, Dr. John Wyson.
Olson's Metro Farms enjoy competitive advantages which allow them to produce more crops per unit of higher quality at less cost than large-scale farms.
Before you plant your seeds, pick up a copy of the Ben Franklin Book of the Year award-winning Metro Farm. Then plant your seeds and win the dollars. MetroFarm.com. MetroFarm.com.
The Beyond Meat Company has announced that it will be manufacturing its meatless meat products in China. Full-scale production is expected to begin in early 2021. The Shanghai factories will manufacture plant-based products that simulate beef, pork, and chicken. Ethan Brown, Beyond Meat's founder and chief executive, said, "China is one of the world's largest markets for animal-based meat products and potentially for plant-based meat." Question: which meatless meat product would you be least likely to buy? Beef, chicken, or pork?
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.